The issue came up again yesterday of a supposed misalignment of people getting vaccines in this first rollout of vaccines to health workers. The accusation being that in far too great numbers, people who should be getting their vaccinations further down the line are somehow finding themselves closer to the top of the line. A couple of the WhatsApps that we got yesterday. In my public hospital, healthcare workers that don't work with the closest to COVID patients are getting their vaccines first. They're also young with no comorbidities. I wanted to give the process the benefit of the doubt, but it seems as if you know the right people, you can get on the list first. It's very frustrating. And the other one, and there were more, my husband is a frontline doctor who's treated COVID patients for a year now, and no one has yet told him where and when he will get vaccinated. He's in Cape Town, northern suburbs. I believe bookkeepers at a particular hospital have been vaccinated. And the issue was first put on the agenda in a phone call to us by Dr. D, as we called him then. He asked not to be identified other than as Dr. D, but now he said we can give him his name and his title, Dr. David Goldshag, who's working at the Mitchell's Plain Hospital. David, good afternoon.
Hi there, John.
You got your vaccination today?
Yes, I got my vaccination this morning, but not after I went yesterday and was unfortunately turned away.
Because you were told at 11 o'clock that all of the vaccines had gone for the day.
Precisely, yeah. Yeah, that the day's allocation had been spent, and then there were 50 or so of us who were then turned away from the hospital.
And you, as part of your communication to us yesterday, you said that people who shouldn't have been getting their vaccinations had got them before 11 o'clock, before they ran out.
So, John, I think an important thing to understand is how the allocation system works. So the hospital, that is the vaccination site, has got a set number, a finite number of vaccines for the day. Let's say they have 1,000. And then they say to site A, you have 100 of these vaccines. And site B, you have 30, and so on and so forth. And then those sites must pick people who they are going to send to the vaccination hospital to get those vaccines. So there's a list that they send through, and if you're not on that list, then you shouldn't be allowed into the hospital, and then you shouldn't get a vaccine, and then everything would actually function very, very smoothly. But what I saw with my own eyes and what I've heard from a lot of people is that even if you're standing in the queue with your voucher number and you're waiting there and your name is on that very list, they are still letting people in whose name is not on the list, rather, let me say. So they have a voucher number, but their name is not on the list, and they are not allocated a vaccine for that day.
How then are they getting past the gatekeepers?
So, John, I think it's very difficult for them to manage these people because there are swarms and swarms of people coming in. And let's say 10 people come from one facility, and there are only supposed to be 7 of them. Then they'll just sort of push through those other three people, or that is rather what's been happening. And that is one of three areas that I've seen over the past few weeks that is crippling this whole entire allocation system.
What I'm trying to understand is how isolated this is. I mean, obviously one doesn't want it to happen at all, but I think there's a different attitude if what you're describing is kind of 30% of what's going on, or if it's only 3% of what's going on. What's your sense and the sense of your colleagues in the frontline medical environment in the Western Cape as to the extent of these problems?
So our sense, I can definitely speak for a number of people because we've been circulating stories amongst ourselves and we've been talking about these issues and seeing how to go forward with them and how to actually resolve them. And it is widespread. I've been hearing about the problems now since the vaccines rolled out, since the first time that I spoke to you over a week ago. And it didn't really stop. It just continues. It could continue to happen. And I saw it with my own eyes yesterday. And it's just actually devastating. You get to a point where you think, how can this be happening? How can we be so dysfunctional with the Sisonke rollout? And how on earth are we going to vaccinate 40 plus million people in this country if we can't even get it right for around 1 million people?
David, before I go to Sadiq Karim, and you'll be listening, and please, if there's a question you want to ask Dr. Karim, interject, and we'll have a three-way conversation. But just how are you feeling after your vaccination? Because one of my colleagues has a fiance who's in the medical field, was vaccinated last week and sat for 36 hours with a 40-degree temperature. Have you had any response?
Look, I'm not feeling great. I went to work after I had the vaccine this morning, and I had to leave a little bit early because I started feeling a little feverish myself. I've been at home since then, and I'm just monitoring myself as well, but I'm definitely starting to get quite hot, yeah.
Okay, let's bring in Dr. Sadiq Karim now. Sadiq, hello.
Hello, John and David.
Okay, you were listening. Respond.
Sure. Yeah, look, so what David's describing is definitely not an isolated event. And let me explain part of it. And I think we spoke about it the last time. So the booking system is a nationally controlled system. And the key, the magic key to all of this is the voucher. Without that, we technically cannot proceed. But the people, the allocation of the voucher, so that obviously is controlled up by the National Department of Health. I mean, that key, and there have been problems with it. So people who are not on the list have been getting vouchers, or people who are not eligible have been getting vouchers, and the reverse has also been true. People who, you know, have been getting vouchers who probably should not have been getting vouchers at all either. So that's the first issue, and we are working with the national department. We're trying to resolve that, but obviously, as you can imagine, that is under their control. It is not, in my view, at least in my view, as widespread as David says it is, but it's not an isolated event either. The second issue, though, what happened particularly yesterday was an unfortunate incident. So because the list is the compilation of the list under the control of the National Department is not a perfect match. We sometimes give people the benefit of the doubt who come from areas where they say they have not gotten the vouchers when they legitimately were eligible and should have. And that's exactly what happened yesterday, unfortunately. So a larger number of people arrived from one of the particular areas. And we're talking public sector for now. We'll talk private sector in a little while if you want to. But for the public sector, people arrived, unfortunately, more than we had expected from the list, and they claimed they did not have vouchers. So because we don't have control over the system, we gave them the benefit of the doubt. There were 41 people then at the end of the day, when we counted the exact number, who then had to be turned away. And unfortunately, David was amongst them. And that, like I said yesterday, we had
Sadiq, yes. 41 people is a lot.
It is a lot.
And it points to a significant flaw in the system. If 41 people who were due to get a vaccine on a particular day, who, you know, had everything necessary to get a vaccine on a day, didn't.
Correct. So that's what I'm saying. It is not an isolated incident, and this is happening nationally across the country. And we obviously have been alerting the National Department to this. Now, in fact, the National Department kicked into the system a compulsory scheduling yesterday, which has teething problems, we're told. We in the Western Cape asked to be exempted from the compulsory scheduling because of the problems that we've been experiencing with the EVDS system. As it's known, it's called the EVDS system. To allow the system time to just stabilize so that we can, in fact, have better control over the process. So I guess that what we're doing in place of an inadequate national system or system that's not working perfectly, and this is where David's point was, is to put kind of queue marshals on site at the facility to try as far as possible to work out who are meant to be on the list and who not. But since this incident had happened yesterday, we obviously have tightened up that queue marshalling system even more. And as you know, we had the other problem last week of having to make sure people bring staff cards because non-healthcare workers were in fact getting vouchers as well, which is part of the problems that I mentioned earlier. So we've tightened up the queue marshalling systems as well to ensure that this sort of incident does not happen and make very sure that only if you're on the list will you get the voucher, how imperfect that list might be from the National Department of Health.
David, from your perspective, frontline health work and the conversations that you have with colleagues in the same position as you, is there a suggestion you would like to put to Dr. Sadiq Karim or a question?
Yes, I think we do. There was a thing sent out where we now started giving facility managers the ability to almost triage their staff and then send people who were more urgent than others. And I've been actually thinking about it quite a bit. And if I may, Doc, I think that there's three areas of responsibility. The first is with the facility managers or heads, and they need to put the right people on the list and send the right people forward for those vaccinations at the right time. So obviously, the people who are patient-facing need to go first. The second thing is at the hospital or the vaccination site that these people are going to, they can't be let in if they are not on that list. You can't even give these people the benefit of the doubt, because then you're taking away a vaccine from somebody who has done everything right, like John said, and rocks up with everything that they need to be there with. And the third thing is with the not the general public, the healthcare workers themselves. If it's not your turn, if your name is not on the list, don't go. Don't rock up at the hospital. It is not your time yet. You must wait your turn. I think that's the most important message that I would like to get across.
Respond to that, Sadiq?
Absolutely, may I?
Yeah.
Before I do forget, next time, David, doesn't have to be anonymous. We don't, as a senior management team in this department, are not a very punitive, I can put it that way. We welcome suggestions, John, openly, because it can only help us improve the situation. And since your call yesterday, obviously, like I said, we've now tightened up the queue, Marshal David. I fully agree. You know, the issue of healthcare work, if it's not your turn, don't arrive at the vaccination center. We are now having to become quite almost draconian, perhaps that is too strong a word. And I spoke to the site manager today at Tigerberg, who was in charge of the queue marshalling process, David, and she's had to be fairly draconian. She says, I'm sorry, you are not on the list. We are now having to turn you away. So we're having to become a lot more, I guess, strict with our own colleagues. And I like David's appeal to our colleagues, don't come for your vaccination if it's not your turn. You will be triaged according to the criteria we have by your facility manager. We will get that list and we will now go according to that list and make very sure, David, that we don't take people from the services who are not on the list. Notwithstanding, John, obviously the problems with the electronic data system, we were trying to give people the benefit of the doubt with an imperfect system as it is at the moment, over which we've got no control. But perhaps that's not the right approach, and perhaps we just need to accept the imperfect nature of the system and just triage more strictly, which is in fact what we did today.
We're going to have to leave it there, but I thank you very much to Dr. David Goldschlag and Dr. Sadiq Karim. I think the point that David made is very valid. These problems got to be sorted out when you're dealing with a rollout of vaccines to 1 million people. If you can't get that right, there is zero chance then you're going to get right a vaccination rollout to the next tranche, the essential workers and the people over 60 and the comorbidity people. That's roughly 20 million people. If you can't get it right for 1 million people, how much more messy is it going to be when you're trying to do 20 million people? But thank you to both of you.